With you, I hope, tonight, and turn to Hebrews in chapter number 5. Hebrews in chapter number 5, and we're going to spend just a couple. I'm planning on 2 weeks. It might stretch into more, but because I'm using a book, and then I got writing today and wrote a couple pages of notes for myself. But Isaac, I don't know if you can pass out these books that are right up here, these booklets. Sean, if you could go ahead and help Isaac pass out these booklets. I want to just spend a couple weeks on just some very practical teaching on soul winning and on our need of being soul winners. Our Savior, if we look in Luke 19 and verse 10, he was interested in saving the lost. He had a passion of saving the lost. That was his desire. He said he came in Luke 19:10. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that was his heart. That was his desire. And so then we stop, and I don't think we need to get so basic tonight to ask, well, who are the lost? I think most of us, or the majority of those who would be here tonight, you've taken some kind of level of soul winning class. There's been some. I know we over the last 8 years since we've been here, we've done our best to be able to have some special classes, some training times, and yet so many times people are still just tentative to be openly sharing the gospel. We're tentative to be proactive in sharing the gospel. But I want to just ask a couple questions, if you will. Do we believe there is a God? Amen. Well, five of us do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now help me tonight. Tune in real quick. Do we believe there is a God? Amen. All right. Do we believe that the word of that the Bible we hold is His Word? Yes. So we believe we have a Bible. And so if we believe we have a Bible, does the Bible that we hold in our hands teach that there is a literal place called hell? Are we confident on that? I'm getting some people shaking their head. Yes, sir, is it? You look in the Word of God there. You can go to Luke in chapter number 16. Just if you say, well, I need some proof text, you're going to have to prove for me. You go read Luke in chapter 16 and then tell me there's no hell. Read Revelation in chapter number 21. Tell me there is no hell. I'm telling you, there is a literal place called hell. There is a place prepared for those who reject the God of the Bible. And so we believe those things, and you say, well, why is there a literal hell? Why would God have established such a place called hell? And that can get into a whole other course study, but listen to me. The simple answer is for this, for those who have rejected him, for those who have turned away from him or will not receive him, and that's why he said he came to this earth. Jesus Christ came to this earth in Luke 19:10, where you can look that up later if you want to. But he said to seek and to save the lost. That's what he came for. And when we consider who are the lost, we could just simply say this. They are those who are void of the gospel. Those who are void of the knowledge that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ was made or took place so that they might, you might, I might be saved. That God might be able to make a payment for the sin of mankind. The Bible tells us all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and because we have sinned, we fall short of God's glory. He therefore sent His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to die for our sins, to be buried, and to rise again, to offer us life. Amen. That we might be the recipients of eternal life. That's why Jesus Christ came. And so, those who are void of the knowledge of the gospel, you say, well, how do we? How can that take place in the day? There are a lot of people who couldn't even define what the gospel is, or more importantly, what the gospel's for. There's many people in America today that have no clue what the gospel is. And even if they do know what the gospel is, then you go a step farther. What does the gospel do and how does one receive it? They would have no answer as to how that would take place. Those who are lost are those who are unaware of the true gospel. There are many people that say, well, I know what the gospel is, and so I got baptized. Understand with me, the gospel is not baptism. The gospel is literally the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's entrusting in those things, those three things, and what Christ did and the finished work of Christ on the cross, that you and I can find salvation. So it's not in the fact of me being baptized. It's not in my good works. It's not in my church attendance. It's in none of those things. But there are many that would trust in many forms of what we call a false gospel. They're trusting in something other than the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that might be because that's the way they were raised. Might be because of disinformation and maybe in the sincerity of their heart. They want to follow God. They want to know the truth. And that might be very much the case. And so therefore, God has given us the truth that we might be able to take it to them. And so we could stop and we could say that there's also a group of lost people, them that are caught in false religion. And there's plenty of false religion out there. There's much false religion out there. A lot of mainstream religion is built up, and we're not trying to thumb our nose or tear anybody down or make anybody look bad, but there's a lot of mainstream religion that's built on false doctrine, false principles of what the gospel is. And I know we've said this before, but I think it bears need being said again and remembered over and over again. If someone doesn't have the gospel correct, then listen to me, that why would we be interested in anything else I have to say from that point? You say, well, the Catholic priest is a good guy. I mean, they're just kind people and they do a lot of good work. I'm not trying to disparage any good works that they do, but understand with me, I'm not saved because I take communion. I'm not saved because I'm baptized in any particular church. I'm not saved because I was married in any particular church. And you can go to the Catholics alone and they'll have the sacraments, their seven sacraments that they hold to, and if you follow those sacraments, then you too can be saved just by following the sacraments. But understand with me, you can go through the Word of God, and it's not hard at all to look at the sacraments that they would offer as salvation or as a, if you will, what they would say, a means of grace. It's not hard to go through the Word of God and stop and go, well, wait a second, these are not true to the Word of God. And so we stop and go there a lot. We understand there's a lot of people caught in false religion. A lot of people caught in false religion. Every Christian, listen, if you say, I do know the true gospel, I am saved, then listen to me, then you should be involved in and preparing yourself to be able to share the gospel. You should be. According to Matthew 28, I'll read here in Matthew 5 in just a minute. Hold your place there. But according to Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says that we've been given all power. We've been given all power. That would be speaking of the authoritative power of God. You have authority given by God as a saved individual to go forth and to share the gospel. Some people say, oh, I'm so scared. I just can't get the words together. Then you need to start asking God for the right power. And you need to start concentrating on the fact that it's not going to be your words anyway. It's not about you to begin with. It's about the power of Almighty God working through you. And you need to clue into that. Acts 1:8, he says, all power is given unto me. He says that we are going to, we shall receive all power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's talking about the explosive power of God. Matthew would speak of the authoritative power. Acts would talk of the just sheer strength or the explosive power of God. And we all have those things available to us. I read a quote by Charles Finney. Charles Finney would be responsible for the Second Great Awakening in the United States. And he said this, "It is the business of every Christian to save souls. People complain that they do not know how to take hold of this matter. Why? The reason is plain enough. They never studied it. They've never taken proper they've never made proper plans to qualify themselves for the work." Never taking proper plans to qualify themselves for the work. You and I need to be involved in preparing ourselves to share the gospel, be involved in preparing ourselves to be able to talk to people about the Word of God, about spiritual things, and most importantly, about one's salvation. Whether someone knows Christ or not, the sad truth is many Christians, many believers never share their faith. They never do get around to having the conversation about the gospel. They never do get around to actually sharing the Word of God with someone in such a way that would cause them to feel lost. And you say, well, I just don't want my friends to not like me because I think they're lost. You're going to, as one preacher said, sometimes we love people into hell. Yeah. Because, well, I don't want them to be offended now and today. Well, they're going to be offended for all of eternity if we believe the Word of God. No. If we believe the Word of God and we said we do, then they'll be offended for all of eternity because we don't want to offend them here and now. And I'll tell you, we need to be students of the Word of God. We need to be studying the Word of God in such a way that we might be able to be a teacher to somebody. And we can get scared and we can think, oh man, I just don't want to, I don't want to be a know-it-all. I don't want people to think I'm a Bible thumper. It's not about that. If you look in Matthew in chapter 5, look at verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. He's talking to the Hebrews, those whom received the gospel first. That would be the Hebrews. They received the gospel first. And he says this in verse number 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And you say, well, are you calling me a baby? I'm not, but I'm just telling you, if we can't even show someone from the Word of God what it is that we claim that we have that's changed our life, then listen to me. You might want to consider that you haven't done much maturing as a child of God. You just might want to consider that. And here he is talking to the Hebrews who received the gospel first. They've had it the longest. I'm talking just sheer time from the moment of Christ's resurrection to this point in time when he writes the book of Hebrews. They've had the gospel longer than anyone, and yet they were unskillful with it. They were unskillful in the Word of God. They were unskillful in the ways of God. I want you to understand, God desires that you and I would learn the Word of God and be skillful with it. He desires that of you. He wants that of you. It shouldn't be that we are, well, the teaching the Bible and helping people understand the Bible. That's the preacher's job. They got to go to seminary for that. Praise the Lord, I got to go to school. Praise the Lord, I got to study the Bible. I'm telling you, though, that gives me no more responsibility nor right to share the gospel with anybody more than you if you haven't done that. It doesn't give me any more responsibility or right. I have the right tomorrow to get up and to read my Bible and to get on my face and talk to God. That's what I have the right to do with the degree I have. And you have the same right. I have the right tomorrow to ask God to speak to me and ask God to lead me, just like you have a right. And listen to me, as a child of God, a responsibility to do. And so we need to get to a place to where we have thought through. And that's why I said I thought this was going to be 2 weeks. And then I liked this lesson, but at the same time, there's some things that I didn't want to get to. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get to. But listen, just simply training ourselves. I mean, when's the last time you actually sit down and just simply thought about John 3:16? I mean, come on, that's a real simple verse. I mean, it's the most known verse in the world, John 3:16. And could you actually stop and explain the truth of John 3:16 to somebody? I mean, you say, well, I just couldn't share the gospel with anyone. And we're going to talk about how to turn some conversations around to spiritual things and turn our conversations into spiritual things. But understand with me, have you taken time to really ponder and consider the truth of John 3:16? We all know John 3:16 probably here tonight. For God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a verse we all know, but then we'd stop and like, I just couldn't tell anybody how to be saved. You mean you know John 3:16? And you couldn't tell anybody about the salvation that God offers to them. You're telling me that John 3:16 is real to you, that you would say, I have a salvation testimony. I know Christ is my personal Savior. I know that the Holy Ghost lives inside of me. But yet we just can't seem to get over the hurdle of actually sharing the gospel with someone. Realize when we think about John 3:16, I just wrote down some simple observations. John 3:16, do you realize God loves you? God loves you. That's a pretty simple observation. I did not have to go to college to get that observation. Are you with me? But God loves you. I mean, God loves you very deeply. God cares about you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to prove his love to you. He gave. I want to show my wife how much I love her. You realize sometimes it means that I got to go over and above and beyond. Men, listen up. You got to go over, above, and beyond sometimes. You just got married, Audra. Yeah, all right? You don't know what I'm talking about yet. All right? She's like, oh, I've got to go over and above. No, men have been married for a while. You got to go over and above and beyond sometimes. And it's going to take of your time. Sometimes for your wife to feel that she is loved. It's going to take of your treasure. It's going to take a little bit of your effort sometimes. Well, listen to me. God desired that people would know, this world would know so much that he loves them, that he gave his only Son. He gave his Son Jesus to give us an opportunity to be saved. That's what God did to prove his love to us. Romans 5:8, we talk about this. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God showed. That word commendeth means to show or to prove his love to us. That's what God did. He very much wanted you to understand the value that he placed on your life. And it was so great to him, and the value was so great to him of your life, that he gave his Son so that you might be saved. And so God has a great love for you. We here in John 16 are at a point where we're confronted with the love of God. Well, why did God love us so much? Because he wasn't willing that any should perish. He didn't want you to die. He doesn't want your grandmother to die, your father to die, your friend to die, your co-worker to die. He didn't want anybody to die. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's why he died, is because he wanted to take care of the perishing that would have taken place. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. When we just think of John 3:16, I'm telling you, it can really just open up the gospel. He said he's not willing that any should perish. Perish. To perish would be to have life has been stopped. They're going to have a life to cease. There's going to be a death that's going to take place. And I know we're kind of getting a little more deep, but you understand with me in Revelation in chapter number 21, where we talk about hell. It talks about the second death. The second death. There's a physical death that men are going to experience. There's also a spiritual death, listen to me, that men are going to experience. And that's why men need Christ. It's not just so they won't die physically. That's appointed unto man once to die. But listen to me, more importantly than that, that they don't die spiritually. And the writer John, that talks about a physical and a spiritual death in Revelation 21, is also the same writer in John in chapter 3 that talked about a new birth. Praise the Lord. That we can be born again. We can be born of water. We can be born of spirit. We can have life. And so why did God love you so much? Because he desired for you not to perish. And he desires for your loved ones not to perish. And so therefore he came to die that you might have, instead of losing life, instead of to perish, that you would have everlasting life. Everlasting life. I talked to somebody the other day. They said, yeah, that's God's life. And I said, exactly. They said, I don't understand the salvation. They said, salvation's not eternal. I said, but God said he came in just John 3:16, that we might have everlasting life. And they said, yeah, but that's God's life. I said, yes. And he wants to give it to me. And he wants to give it to you. He wants us to have his life so that we wouldn't perish. And we have eternal life. We can have and experience eternity with him. And so my belief in Jesus, all right, this everlasting life is the gift of God, and it will determine my eternity. You're putting your faith and trust in Christ, in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, and what he's done will determine your eternity. Jesus was a gift. Praise the Lord. He was a gift. He was offered to you. He's offered to me. His death, his burial, his resurrection. Understand with me, it was a gift. It's an opportunity for us to be saved. He was willfully offered up for our sins. We think of Romans 3:23. You can look there. Romans 3 and verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Simple, again, just simple observations. All means you are a sinner. For all have sinned. I'm telling you, the gospel's so simple, the word of God's simple enough for a child to understand. And people want to stop and try to explain the truths of it away. Listen, all means all. Everyone is a sinner. We're all sinners. Not just that all have sinned, but all men are sinners. That's a lot of people will admit they've sinned. Well, yeah, I've done bad things, wrong things. But it's a different difference to accept that not just that I've sinned, but that I am a sinner. You are a sinner. Your sin separated you from God. Your sin keeps you from the love of God. And God's desirous that you would be a recipient of his love. But all have sinned. It's all men have sinned. It's who we are. We're sinners. It's our nature that we're sinners. We fall short of the glory of God. We miss the mark of God's glory. God is, when we think of the word glory, it's brightness, it's luster, it's splendor. It is like the... it's like comparing, all right, if you will, when we think of God's glory, the glory of God, it's like comparing my quarterbacking skills to, you know, say the quarterbacking skills of, you know, Peyton Manning. You know, I mean, they're really, I mean, not even comparable, are they? Come on. I mean, I can throw a football. That's about as far as the comparison goes, right there. I can pick up a football, I can throw it. Other than that, Peyton Manning, as far as quarterbacking skills, literally, he's on another planet than I am. Come on. If you don't know who that is, it's fine. It's fine. But just trust me on that. I mean, it wouldn't even be comparable. Thus is the glory of God compared to your sinful nature. Thus is the glory of God. I mean, that's even a shallow example of the glory of God compared to you and I as sinners. Romans 6:23, and again, we're just going through simple verses that we would take people through for leading them to the Lord and just making some simple observations. The wages of sin is death. What I earned, the gift of God, what I have through Jesus, what I have earned, I've earned death. The wages of sin is death. That's what each and every one of us earn. You go to work so you can get wages. That's why you went to work, so you could get a wage. Well, what you've earned for being a sinner and sinning, listen, is that you have earned death, eternal separation. One day you will perish. That's what Jesus said in John 3:16. You'll perish. Listen to me. That's what you've earned. But, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, how does one receive eternal life? How does one get this gift? It's through the death, the burial, of and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gift that has been offered for our sins. and for the sins of all mankind. What I'm trying to establish is, listen to me, you and I should be studying. You say, I have a lost family member. I have a lost friend. I have a coworker, or I'm just concerned with lost people in general. Then I'm trying to establish with you that it's not hard to be able to know how to talk to somebody with authority from the Word of God. I mean, simply understanding the difference of the word all. Come on, people want to explain. Well, everlasting. I mean, that's not a hard word to understand. And yet some people want to just completely dismiss the truth of eternal or everlasting life. I'm telling you, these aren't hard to understand. And the problem is that many times we're afraid, not that we couldn't teach it, but that we're afraid that if we try to learn it and we get to a place where we can actually explain it, then we're going to be more responsible. And I'm telling you today, my friend, that you're just as responsible today for the lost souls that are around you as if you already did know what to say to them. And one day the Bible talks about blood being on the hands of the saints. Listen to me. And you get to heaven and you say, well, I just never was so bold as to tell them about the gospel or Jesus, be confrontational with them about the gospel. Understand, that does, just because you didn't want to take time to really study it and think it out and take part in it, doesn't mean that one day you're not going to be responsible. I know it's Wednesday. You say, preacher, that's kind of a heavy thought. But it's true. There are people around you, there are people you come in contact with that need you to be a witness of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I get it that we live in a hard area to share the gospel. Brother Coley was staying down in the mission department. He went out soul winning with us last night. And he said, so you guys have a lot of success in soul winning? I said, none at all. I mean, we really don't. He said, really? I said, no. And the first door we knocked on, the guy opened and said, yeah, I don't want anything. I'm good. And then we were literally walking. I mean, he just asked that question. I got that response. We turned around to walk to the next house, and the lady was out in her garden. And she said, please don't come by here. We're all fine. And he said, oh, wow. Yeah, you don't have a very good response. But listen to me, just because the response isn't good doesn't mean that we go, well, that just makes us not responsible for the propagating of the gospel, because we just don't get a very charitable response. No, there is no lack of responsibility. We have, if we have received the gospel, a responsibility to tell others about the gospel. We're just getting through to the introduction. We're getting out of time. We need to study so that we might give a clear, simple, and understandable presentation of the gospel. I'm telling you, you should be able to share your testimony with someone in such a way that they would know how you got saved, and more importantly, how they can get saved. You should think it through. You say, well, how do I do that? I'm telling you, you might have to sit down and write it down. Might have to. You might need to sit in front of sit down and record yourself talking. I mean, you might go through some different exercises to get yourself ready to be able to speak to people, but you have a responsibility to speak to people. You can speak to people. You go through a speech class, and some people they'd rather die than talk to a stranger. We're not talking about talking to strangers. I'm talking about you talking to your dad, and you talking to your friend. All right? So you're just going to have to learn how to talk to people. That's a hard for us today. You say, I'd rather text them. Listen, whatever, by whatever means it might be, you have a responsibility to make sure they get the gospel. You and I should have gotten to a point, if we've been saved for any length of time, to where we're not sitting around going, well, I just don't know what to do. Well, then start teaching yourself. Start teaching yourself. When I was in college, everybody had to go, and I had a little bit of more advantage than a lot, but everybody had to go through a song leading class, and every young man had to go through a basic song leading class so they could lead congregational singing, and where it wasn't that big a deal to me. You thought some guys, they were going to have to fly to the moon in order to lead a song, and What the teacher said is like, you just need to go and get in front of a mirror and watch yourself waving your arms. See your arms. And he said, get a bar of soap or get a marker and then mark on the mirror while you're going through. I mean, making sure you got your pattern down. And I thought it was kind of comical. Everybody's standing in, I mean, you have 10 guys standing in the bathroom, you know, the community bathrooms there at the in the men's dorm, and they're all going, da, da, da. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, why? Because they had a grade, they had a class they wanted to pass. Listen, us sharing the gospel is way bigger than a grade. Yeah. You say, well, I just don't think they're going to listen. That's fine. You make sure you have preparation. I'm telling you, one day when we do stand before the Lord and we do give an account, we do give an account, we do give an account. Are we going to want to give an account that says, God, I prepared, I made myself ready, I did everything I could to make sure those around me that I was that I had some responsibility for heard the gospel? Or are we going to say, you know what, you know, you God, you made me, and you know I'm just fearful of talking. You know, I don't like confrontation. Listen, when we're talking about sharing the gospel, we're not talking about having some great deep theological. We're talking about the base things of Christianity. We're talking about the most simple thing a child could understand. That's what we're talking about. And more importantly, we're talking about something that is a Holy Spirit-led activity. We need to understand that. This isn't about you leading someone to Christ. It's about you preparing that the Holy Spirit, through you, might be able to lead someone to Christ. That's what it's about. The Bible says in Jude, he said, "And some having compassion, making a difference." Not some being the best orator. Not some having theological degrees. Not some being the most widely hailed scholar of theology in their day and time. But someone simply having compassion for those who are lost. Making a difference. Compassion. Pulling people from the fire. We may not understand which, you say, well, there's so many different verses and there's so many different ways of leading some of the Lord. And you're right, there are. Then study them. Learn them. Be ready and be in tune with the Spirit of God that He might be able to lead you to lead someone else to Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop there tonight. You say, we haven't got into this outline at all. I know. But I just felt that the introduction lacked much. All right? And so listen, this is what I need you to do. Hold on to those booklets. We're going to start next week going through those booklets. All right? And just try to help ourselves brush up a little bit, if you will. And you say, I've done this before. Well, let me ask you, how are you doing at sharing the gospel? I'm glad we've taken a class on this before. I'm glad you say, I know everything you've already said. Okay, that's fine. But if we aren't really using it, then we don't really know it. Because if we really knew it, then we'd understand the importance of using it. Yeah. If we really knew this information to a point to where we were, to where we were mature, as Hebrews would talk about, and not babes. Come on, then we would be actively involved. I'm not talking about being here on Tuesday night. I'm just talking about me and my daily life. I'm actively involved in trying to share the gospel with someone because I know they have need of it. I know they have need of it. Or I want to make sure that they clearly understand it. Yeah. Yeah. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.